Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
Program sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 54th year. Each week we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connect you to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, so you can call in. You can join our discussion. Hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Whew. Running up and down the stairs gets to be a lot. I got three basic points that I want to cover in today's program. We may not get to all of them, but we'll do the best that we can. First is we need to get our facts straight about the fairness of the House impeachment inquiry. That's the new new hustle, I guess, is the way I could say it, you know, where the Republican leadership of the House and the Senate are now saying not that the impeachment, the facts that are being presented in the or discovered in the impeachment hearing are correct. They're not arguing that. They're arguing that the process by which the facts are being uncovered, that the process is unfair. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the proof that's already in the record that a quid pro quo did take place. And for those of you that don't know what quid pro quo means, it's a Latin term, a phrase that means this for that. Very simple. I give you $16, you give me a pair of sneakers or, you know, whatever it is, quid pro quo. And so that I want to show on the record that that is already that the proof is already in our hands. And finally, I want to do a little fact checking on Trump's spin on what is going on with the Kurds and how the Kurds have been dealt with. So let me get to the first part. The Republicans are attempting to convince the American people that they're being wronged by Democrats holding hearings in the House chambers, holding the hearings in secret, or i.e. sneaking. They don't tell you that at least 45 Republicans are participating in every one of these depositions and that the full transcripts of the depositions will be made available to the public, something the Republicans have not done with regard to the Benghazi hearings and the email hearings that were held, you know, about Hillary Clinton or even about the Mueller report. Much of that information that was obtained is being held in secret. The Republicans have kept that stuff from the public. But now they're complaining that the information that's being developed through the hearings conducted through the Democrats, now that they control the House of Representatives, that information is being surfaced through secret meetings or non-public meetings in the lower chamber of the Capitol building. Further, all of those people deposing in private, Republicans are actually there in those hearings in which these depositions are being taken. The Republicans are actually there in those hearings in the Capitol building. They ask questions at the same time, and they ask questions for the same amount of time that the Democrats are asking during the course of these private hearings. Further, all of these people deposing in private in the House chamber depositions will be called back to testify again in public. When the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives chamber, they did everything in their power to hide transparency. The Republicans are accusing Democrats of using the rules using the rules that the Republicans themselves changed to suit their interests when they had control of the House. I'm going to take you to a report quickly by Anthony Adragna. It's entitled "The Powerful Weapon House Republicans Handed Democrats." It was in Political Magazine, October 28th of last year. The House Republicans changed the rules in 2015 to allow many of their committee chairpersons to issue subpoenas without consulting the minority party, overriding Democrats' objections, who the Democrats likened the tactic to something out of the McCarthy era. Prior to this change, you had to get a sign-off by both the Republicans and the Democrats to issue a subpoena on behalf of a House committee. Your keys are right over here, the House committee. Now the weapon that the GOP wielded dozens of times against Barack Obama and the executives administering his agencies has allowed Democrats to demand information from Trump's appointees, and many Democrats are using it. Earlier this month, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy demanded inquiry proceedings to be stopped unless the minority got the power to subpoena witnesses, which is the power that the minority power had prior to McCarthy and Scalise and John Boehner and their cohorts changing the rules so that only the Republicans had to sign off on issuing subpoenas. The same day that let me go back a bit. Wednesday this week, Minority Whip Steve Scalise and others even likened the secure closed-door investigation into sensitive foreign policy matters to something out of the Soviet Union. That same day, a group of angry House Republicans barged into the secure facility and effectively halted hearings for several hours, complaining about transparency. But if they find the process unfair, they have only themselves to blame. The same Republicans, Republican leaders leading this criticism are the same ones who wrote the rules, who changed the rules to establish that majority-centric rule, the majority-centric rules that we have at this time. Obviously, any actual impeachment vote would be done in public. Under the Constitution, that would trigger a trial in a GOP-controlled Senate where a two-thirds supermajority would be required to remove Trump from office. The House rules, which McCarthy and Scalise helped enact, also allow this fact-finding portion of the impeachment inquiry to be done in private by the relevant committees. The House Republicans protesting the lack of transparency of these secure hearings are allowed to attend them and have been participating. This is what's so disingenuous about this. They're claiming that they don't get to know the, you know, what goes on and what's been found, and they're not participating in these hearings, when in fact they are participating in the hearings. Everything that's being said, they get a chance to hear, they get a chance to read, and in fact, any congressman, whether you're a part of the committee or not, can attend the deposition, these closed-door meetings. You can attend those meetings. You just can't ask questions. But you're there. You can hear what's being said and so on. This is just outright lying. On Thursday, Fox News senior judicial analyst Andrew Napolitano. Now, you know that it's a Fox News senior judicial analyst, so obviously this is not somebody on the side of the Democrats. He surprised his colleagues by noting that he actually had read the House rules and discovered that the Democrats were following the rules to the letter. As frustrating as it may be to have these hearings going on behind closed doors, the hearings over which the Congressman Adam Schiff is presiding are consistent with the rules. He said when the rules were written last was in January of 2015. Who signed them? John Boehner, the Republican majority leader or Speaker of the House. And who enacted them? A Republican majority. A partisan vote, by the way. The rules say that this level of inquiry, inquiry can be done in secret. So quickly, the House investigators found proof of a quid pro quo arrangement involving the president of Ukraine and Donald Trump. And you heard Lindsey Graham claim that if you could show me that Trump was actually engaging in a quid pro quo outside the phone call, the transcript of which has been made public and is the basis for a lot of what's going on in terms of the impeachment inquiry. Evidently, Graham has not followed closely the depositions and documents collected by three House committees from present and former senior administration officials. If he had, he would see that they contain clear proof that Mr. Trump, acting directly and through his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, repeatedly demanded a pledge from Mr. Zelensky to open those political investigations to obtain an Oval Office investigation. There is evidence that the U.S. military aid was dependent on the probes as well. I only have a minute, so I can't really do all of this, but just really quickly, it begins with the testimony of the two State Department officials about a May 23rd meeting they had with Trump to discuss the newly formed government of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky. Kurt Volker, the administration's special envoy to Ukraine, and Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, said that the president rejected their appeal to invite Mr. Zelensky to the White House. Instead, Mr. Trump complained that Ukraine was a corrupt country that tried to shake me down. I can't go through all of this in a little bit of time that I have left, but the bottom line is that there is a clear transcript record. We may get to this over the course of today's program. Transcript record that shows that Donald Trump made meeting that the Zelensky President Zelensky wanted with the president at the White House and the aid that the country was supposed to be providing to the Ukraine contingent upon not only that the Ukrainian president launched this investigation into both Biden, the company he was a board member of, Burisma, but also that he make the investigation public, that he get on public TV and make an announcement that he was doing that so that Donald Trump would have this to use as a hammer over the Democrats. But let me get John in Lockport real quick and get our conversation going. John, how are you doing out there?
Hi, Nathan. You know, I hate to sidetrack you from what you're talking about, but I wanted to go local a little bit.
Sure.
I just can't believe what these characters are doing here locally, Mickey Kearns and stuff on Mihailu. They're jumping on this anti-green light law, which is really has very little to do with immigrants. It has mostly to do with safety in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
They're just using this as a political ploy. It's a winning situation because immigrants and illegal immigrants are going to drive anyway,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to make the roads very unsafe. And with this law, they're forced to learn how to drive. They're forced to get insurance. This all protects us. It's all about us, this law, and they're trying to make it all about immigrants because they're going right along with Trump in this anti-immigrant thing. The other thing I wanted to say was I cannot believe how anybody would not vote for polling cars in Buffalo. You know, I'm 73 years old, and I have never seen a renaissance like we've seen in Buffalo and Western New York like
mm-hmm.
we have now. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing what's going on here. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with Governor Cuomo and the billion to Buffalo, especially the health corridor. You can question about what's his name there with the roofing situation. Has the Tesla cars.
Elon Tesla, right? The solar.
But I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. About how Buffalo's coming around, and all people can do, you listen to Channel 2 or any of those news, all they do is attack Cuomo all the time. And the guy, I mean, it's not like he hasn't made a lot of mistakes. He has. But he's also brought a lot of money and a lot of business to Western New York. Most other governors that we've had don't even know where Buffalo is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't know where Buffalo was. This guy does, and he's here a lot. And so is his lieutenant general. Kathy Hochul's here a lot,
right?
And so is our Congressman Higgins, and so is our senators.
It shows you the value of having not just upstate leadership, but having Western New York leadership, because upstate and Western New York are not the same thing, right?
Yeah, all they do is criticize the governor. All they do is criticize, you know, polling cars. You couldn't have a better situation than we have now. Granted, there's been some things that have gone haywire, but at least he's there here trying to do something, you know. And this renaissance that's going on in Buffalo, somebody must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor of Buffalo and the county executive have to be given praise for what they've done to to bring this thing about. So
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm pretty sure they feel pretty good about the fact that you're,
right.
you appreciate it. Thanks, John. I appreciate you, man. All right. And so, well, since I have a moment, let me actually go through this proof. I'm sorry. Let me hit the phone numbers again. It's 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Are we having any problems with the other? Okay. So just again, if you want to call and join the discussion, our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. And so as I was going along here, Gordon Sondland, who is the envoy to the European Union from the United States, that he says, based on a phone call that he participated in on May 23rd, excuse me, a meeting he participated in on May 23rd with Donald Trump, Kurt Volker, the administrative special envoy for the Ukraine, Gordon Sondland, who is the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, and so on. In this meeting, Donald Trump directed, quoting now, those of us present to talk to Mr. Giuliani about his concerns. Then he added, it was apparent to all of us that the key to changing the president's mind on Ukraine was Mr. Giuliani. On July 19th, at a breakfast meeting between Volker and Giuliani, Giuliani brought up both the accusations about Vice President Biden and about interference in the 2016 election, adding that Mr. Giuliani stressed that all he wanted to see was for Ukraine to investigate what happened in the past. Special Envoy Volker then worked with a top aide to Mr. Zelensky, a man named Andrei Yermak, to set up the July 25th phone call that we've all seen the transcript of that was the basis for the most recent push for this impeachment inquiry of the President of the United States. The same day, Volker texted Yermak to clearly lay out the quid pro quo, stating in that text, heard from White House assuming President Zelensky convinces Trump he will investigate to get to the bottom of what happened in 2016. We will nail down date for visit to Washington. Good luck. That's quid pro quo. That's this for that. If you prove to me that you're investigating Bidens and if you announce this, you know, to the public, then I'm willing to ensure that you get this meeting that you want with the president at the White House so you can represent to the other European powers and to the Eastern European powers that you have good juice, you know, with the United States. That's what that meeting was really all about. During the phone call that we all saw the transcript of July 25th, Mr. Trump requested investigations both of the Democratic National Committee hack and of Mr. Biden. Mr. Zelensky, president of the Ukraine, promised to comply, and Mr. Trump seemed to offer a visit to Washington. You all heard that in the transcript of that phone call. Only it turned out that the president and his lawyer were not yet satisfied. Around August 7th, according to Mr. Volker, Rudy Giuliani called Volker and Mr. Sondland. When the two ambassadors raised Mr. Zelensky's pending White House visit, Mayor Giuliani, he's not the mayor, he's the former mayor, Giuliani, then said he believed the Ukrainian president needed to make a statement about fighting corruption and that he had discussed it with Mr. Yermak. The Ukrainians duly produced a draft statement that was generic about corruption. Mr. Volker then said, only to have it rejected by Mr. Giuliani, who said that the statement, quote, the statement should include specific reference to Burisma, that was the oil and gas company that Hunter Biden had become a director of the board of, and 2016, referring to the 2016 presidential election in this country. Burisma was the gas company, which I spoke to that. Mr. Volker said he edited the draft statement by Mr. Yermak to include these points. On August 10th, he received a text from Mr. Yermak saying, I think it's possible to make this declaration and mention all of these things, but it will be logic to do after we receive a confirmation of a date. In other words, Yermak was saying, I'll do this, but you need to give me confirmation that we have the date for the meeting with the president in Washington. So we're going to stop right there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll pick this up, and then I want to talk about a few other points. So if y'all stick with us, we will send us out at a break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Campbell here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
My husband and I started a business together, and I had no idea where to start when it came to payroll. And a friend of mine recommended Patriot, and I have not looked back since. It was extremely user-friendly. I was actually able to understand it and run everything extremely well. And anytime I've had a question, they have been so quick to answer and help me. I definitely recommend it to anyone who is looking for a payroll software that is easy to use, user-friendly, and really offers everything that you need when it comes to something that's beneficial for your business.
Visit us at PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
Rudy himself was under criminal investigation. Here's what Trump had to say about his longtime relationship with his friend and ally.
Is Rudy Giuliani still your personal
attorney? Well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to Rudy. I spoke to him yesterday briefly. He's a very good attorney, and he has been my attorney. Yeah, sure.
You know it's bad when you keep changing tenses. Was he my lawyer? I don't know. Is he? Yeah, I mean, he has been. Will he be in the future? I'm sure. But this is what Trump does. The minute you're a burden on him, he'll dump you. In fact, now that Rudy is under criminal investigation, Trump makes him sit outside when they fly on Air Force One. This is Trump in his essence. Everything with him is a transaction. The Trump who betrays his allies as soon as they're no longer useful to him is also the same guy who tried to orchestrate a corrupt quid pro quo with Ukraine for his own personal political benefit. This behavior is obviously corrupt and illegal. And we already have all the evidence. In fact, Trump and his aides have basically confessed to all of it. So Republicans are running out of ways to defend it. For example, earlier this month, Trump insisted that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had personally assured him that his phone call with the president of Ukraine, in which he famously said the words, "I would like you to do us a favor," was perfect.
I read Mitch McConnell's statement yesterday, and he read my phone call. And as you know, he put out a statement that said that was the most innocent phone call he's read. And I spoke to him about it, too. He read my phone call with the president of Ukraine, Mitch McConnell. He said, That was the most innocent phone call.
Once again, he can't even mimic actual human syntax when he lies. No human talks like that. And for our purposes, just go along with the idea that Mitch McConnell is a human, even though he is clearly at least 60% dried apple doll. Seriously, just imagine. Just imagine. If you can, the most innocent phone call you've ever witnessed. You've never watched your spouse order takeout and said, "Wow, honey, that was the most innocent phone call I've ever seen. You ordered that pizza without murdering anyone." But still, Trump said he spoke to McConnell, and McConnell told him it was an innocent phone call. There's just one problem. McConnell doesn't seem to remember it that way.
The president has said that you told him that his phone call with the Ukrainian president was perfect and innocent. Do you believe that the president has handled this Ukrainian situation
perfectly? We've not had any conversations on that subject.
So he was lying about that?
You have to ask him. I don't recall any conversations with the president about that phone call.
Wow, even Mitch McConnell won't back him up now. By the end of this whole thing, Republicans are just going to start pretending they don't even know who Donald Trump is. That man was the president? I just assumed it was a Halloween decoration meant to scare away pranksters on mischief night.
That is so precious and so clearly appropriate. But before I get going on, let me get our first call. Is that other John? Yep, other John on line four. Other John, how you doing out there?
Not too bad. It's a great day.
But, well, we're alive, so that makes it a great day, right?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. But I've been keeping score, and there are two direct violations that Trump has committed, specifically 18 U.S.C. 201 and 52 U.S.C. 30121. Okay, they got him dead to rights on both of these.
So help the audience understand what that means.
Pardon me? Oh, these are laws regarding requesting something from a foreign government and basically enriching himself.
Yep.
But if Curly, Larry, and Moe should call in today, you should want to ask them about the Brooks Brothers panty raid on the skiff. These clowns could have been inside listening, but instead they made it, they put on a show. And they should be reminded, Curly, Larry, and Moe should be reminded that Mick Mulvaney already copped to quid pro quo, and he told the reporters to get over it.
Right. He said, "We do this all the time. That's what we do. That's how we do business."
It's remarkable. And by the way, the transcript that everybody refers to is not really a transcript. That's not 100% accurate.
That's true. Right. It's a summation. It's a summation of what was. In fact, I'm so glad you said that, John, because one of the things that came out, somebody actually sat down with a clock and they read the transcript.
Right.
And when they read the transcript, they found that it's only about one third of the amount of time that was covered during the course of when the actual transcript was, the actual phone call was going on.
I heard one sixth.
Okay. And so what happened to the rest of the conversation?
That was all redacted.
Right.
And what they should do is get the Republican lunatics to demand a 100% accurate transcript.
So they're making this big show about depositions being taken in closed-door proceedings, even though they're in the closed-door proceedings. 45 of them are actually in the room, and there are another 55 or so other Republicans who have access to this information. 25% of the Republicans in Congress have access to this information right now. So all of this hullabaloo is just a show, and it's not just disingenuous, it's lying.
Well, they're perpetrating a fraud upon the American people is what they're doing.
Yes.
And all they have to do is go and ask, Matt Gaetz, who is unhinged, by the way.
Right.
They should ask Matt Gaetz about the Benghazi hearings and Trey Gowdy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy that kept everything secret.
Right. Right. And in fact, they're the ones who changed the rules. The rules used to be that you had to have both the Democrats and the Republicans sign off on a subpoena request.
Correct.
They changed the rules so that only the that whoever the majority party was could do it on their own. Now, the Democrats are the majority party, and they're using the rules that the Republicans created, and they're claiming that it's McCarthyism and Soviet-style Stalinism for the Democrats to do exactly what the Republicans have done, even though the Democrats have gone one step further. They've made a commitment that as soon as they get done with this round of closed-door hearings, all of those witnesses were going to be brought back to testify in public on the same thing they're testifying about in secret. And the reason why they're doing this in closed door proceedings, which you know happens in grand jury depositions.
Right.
In a grand jury deposition, you can't have the other witnesses sitting in the room while you're testifying to the grand jury. You have to be someplace else so that the grand jury hears you and nobody else gets to hear the testimony. Then you bring the next witness in and do the same thing so that you don't have these witnesses contaminated by the testimonies that they hear from other people. Even
right.
if you don't
syncing up their right. testimonies.
Even if you don't mean to do it, you may do it just because, oh, that's what he said. Maybe that's what I remembered. And people may misremember things because they get a clue from the way you talk about something. So whether it's innocent or it's deliberate, you still don't want to have witnesses contaminated by the testimony of other witnesses. That's why this is being done this way. The Republicans know this. They said this stuff themselves 4 or 5 years ago. So they can't claim this, you know, right now. But they get all of this hullabaloo. And that's what's so bad about it is the media projects up what the Republicans are doing, but don't provide any analysis for you that tells you that what these people are saying is patently absurd. And the go ahead.
You know, what they should do, or what Schiff should do, is subpoena John Boehner.
bring him
in and ask him if he signed that or presented that legislation change.
Right, right. Well, we know he signed it because his name is on it, right? But have him say, so what did you think this meant when you campaigned to have these rules changed to be written written the way that they are right now? What did you intend? I think that would be interesting. All right. Sorry, John. Okay. So let me just hit you a little bit. William Taylor is the U.S. Chargé d'Affaires in Kiev in Ukraine. He also knew about the demand for a public statement. He testified that Sondland had told him he had heard about the requirement directly from Donald Trump. Taylor also said Mr. Sondland had told him he had been wrong to tell the Ukrainians that only a White House meeting was linked to the statement. In fact, Sondland told Taylor that everything was dependent on such an announcement, including security assistance. Again, the quid pro quo. That this is consistent with the news conference last week by White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, who confirmed that the military aid was held up to leverage a Ukrainian investigation before issuing his unconvincing retraction. The pressure campaign continued into September. On September 8th, William Taylor stated that Mr. Sondland informed him that after talking to Mr. Trump, he had told Mr. Zelensky that if he did not clear things up in public, it would be a stalemate. Added Mr. Taylor, I understood a stalemate to mean that Ukraine would not receive the much needed military assistance. The Ukrainians eventually told Mr. Volker that they did not want to promise investigations of Mr. Biden and the Democrats. And as a consequence, the meeting in the White House was shelved. And Mr. Zelensky never got his White House meeting. U.S. military aid, which Trump had ordered held up in July 18th, was released on September 11th, only after the corrupt quid pro quo became public. By that date, House Democrats had announced that they would be investigating whether the aid had been blocked to force Ukraine to assist Mr. Trump's reelection campaign. Okay. And I just want to say that the meeting, a face-to-face meeting with Trump did take place. However, it took place on September 25th on the sidelines of the 74th UN General Assembly at the United Nations headquarters in New York City. So we have Frank on the phone, and then we'll grab John in Buffalo. Frank, how you doing out there?
Hey, Nathan, remember how angry neocons used to get over Obama golfing?
Yep.
Or Obama taking their guns? You know, it was all lies just to get the base all worked up over nothing. You know? And these congressional Republicans are treating their base like fools who would get angry over the same thing the GOP has done.
Right. Exactly.
And that's, you know, how many Benghazi closed hearings did the Republicans perpetrate?
Exactly.
And how can anybody forget the secret Clinton impeachment hearings where Ken Starr, Newt Gingrich, Dennis Hastert, Mark Foley, Larry Craig, and other GOP sexual deviants got off on the tapes of Monica Lewinsky testimony?
Yep.
You know, I mean, if Trump told the Make America Great Again crowd to jump over the falls, I honestly got to believe there'd be a line at Goat Island, Nathan.
It'd be in the Bible where the sheep ran over the cliff all en masse and so on. It would be the same kind of a picture.
You know, and now I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, but on the other side, we got that loser Hillary Clinton labeling Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein as Russian assets. You know, oh my God. You know, Democrats really need to get rid of the neoliberal centrist wing of the party. You know, the Joe Bidens, the Neera Tandons, the Donnie Deutsches of the nation are going to lead Democrats to another loss in 2020. You know, these corporate hoes and hacks are really good at chasing progressives and sane independents away from the Democratic Party. And, you know, we need all the voters we can get. Let's face it.
You know, Frank, I think that you got your finger on something that I think is really important, that somewhere along the way, the Democrats have to settle on a candidate that both represents a desire to embrace the progressive aims of that part of the Democratic Party while simultaneously demonstrating stability, knowledge of foreign affairs, knowledge of how to administer the executive branch of government and so on. Somehow that's got to get done. And I don't mean to be disrespectful of the contingent of candidates that we have out here right now, but I have a hard time seeing anybody really getting the vast majority of the Democratic and progressive majority or progressive wing of the party and the middle of the party. If you can get the middle and the progressives together, I think you'd have a really good candidate for 2020. But I'm just not sure I'm seeing that in anybody out there right now. What's your thought about that?
Well, you know, I mean, if we were all about the issues, you know, there'd be no problem with Bernie Sanders and Tulsi Gabbard. You know, Bernie's great with the domestic policies. Tulsi's great for ending the regime change wars. That's why I think they're such a good combination. And, you know, even Republicans love Tulsi Gabbard. So, you know, they come over to our side. It's the Democrats. You know, we need somebody who's going to fight for our issues. We've got to stick to the issues. This isn't a personality beauty contest. This is about issues. That's my concern. Populist election.
Right. That's my concern. That, you know, the last time after Barack Obama's last term, the last round out, which got us Donald Trump, we had people that voted for Barack Obama and his center to left agenda. They voted for him, got disappointed in him, and then voted for a guy who was not center right. He was right. They voted for him. That just doesn't make any sense. I just don't know what is going to get the Democrats excited. I don't I don't know that I'm feeling
you know, I don't. I mean, I can't. I don't know many progressives or, you know, sane independents that voted for Trump. You know, they might have voted for Jill Stein, but I think that's just a talking point that the neoliberals use to demonize the left. So
I hope you're right about that. Yeah. Frank, I got to run. I got to get three more calls in on this hour, and I got to take our last break. Appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you next week. Please don't go away. We'll see you inside of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers three times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
The Kerfuffle Before Christmas 2019. Night 2, December 13th. The Rapids Theater with Sum 41. The Dirty Nil. And The Unlikely Candidates. The Kerfuffle Before Christmas 2019. Tickets are on sale now at AlternativeBuffalo.com with special thanks to Liberty Cab and Atwal Eye Care. All your info is waiting at AlternativeBuffalo.com.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
Throw your head back and come on now. The Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now, come on and shout. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Shout it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Come on and shout.
Say you will.
Yeah.
Shout.
Buffalo's happening now.
Shout.
We're on the move now.
Shout.
The Bills are happening now.
Shout.
They're making it happen now.
Shout.
We got the spirit.
Shout.
A lot of spirit, yeah.
Shout.
We got the spirit.
Shout.
Just watch it happen now.
All right, guys. So listen, we got four calls that came on in the course of the last minute or so. So we got John, then we have Ron, then we have John in Flyover Country. I'll let you know who he is in a second. And Ben in Lancaster. So let's try to get these calls in. We're going to get about three or four minutes per call. John in Buffalo, how you doing out there?
Hey, you get me all fired up a day early, Al. Going to get those Eagles tomorrow.
Absolutely. I hope that we can play up to our possibilities. You know, I get worried every time we have something new that we don't adjust to it well enough, quickly enough. So hopefully we're there.
Well, it's a very good offensive team, so we're a good defensive team. So that's where the matchup should
yep.
be. But we'll get them. We've got the home fans with us.
All right, I'm with you.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know.
I've been busy. But I got up early today, and for me. And I just want to say I'm sorry to hear Frank diss Hillary Clinton so much. I guess he's finally bought into the 30-year Republican smear campaign against her.
Well, you know, the thing that he's speaking to, you know, whichever way you feel about Hillary Clinton, the thing that I didn't like about this is how easily we get drawn into stuff that we don't need to get drawn into. Now, I don't understand why Tulsi Gabbard decided that she wanted to make a stand for herself by criticizing Hillary Clinton. I don't know why she chose to do that. But to me, that was like a baiting kind of a thing. And Hillary Clinton took the bait. And then she reacted to it by saying something else that was equally out there, saying that Tulsi Gabbard was an agent, you know, for the Russians.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't necessarily know that that's maybe not. She might be an unwitting agent, saying things like she's saying. But
my point is, whether she is or she isn't, when you play it out in the public, it just turns into creating a narrative that starts to take on a life of its own. You could have just said, I don't know where she's coming from attacking me when we're all supposed to be Democrats, but I'll let her explain where she's coming from and then just move on, right?
Well, if you watch the debate, she sounded an awful lot like she wasn't a Democratic member of Congress. Like, she sounded like she was a Republican member of Congress. So, to me, I mean, I watched the debate.
I watched it too, and I agree that Tulsi Gabbard didn't help herself. If what she was attempting to do was to grow more support, you know, amongst the Democratic electorate, I don't think that what she did helped her at all. I don't really understand where that was coming from. You know,
Frank himself said Republicans would vote for her when his little comments.
Republicans are never going to vote for you. They'll just act like they're going to vote for you to keep you doing. They're just trying to keep the waters, you know, stirred up and whatnot. They don't really care about her or any Democrat.
Couple other things about what you were talking about earlier. The Republicans were not shut out of these meetings. They were, over 100 of them were available to be there.
Right.
And
exactly.
Even some of the ones that stormed the room could have just been there on their own without their cell phones.
Yep.
Another thing I think we should concentrate on is what these people, Trump, did to the Kurds. I would stick with that other than that's the best thing we can win on is how they're betraying our allies.
Yep.
And another thing I noticed that never comes up or hasn't on any of the news that I've been watching is the Flynn connection to the Turks.
Right. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that he was all being paid by Turks to consult with them.
And Trump told you himself, I think it was late the week before last, Trump told you himself when he was asked about his whole attitude about, you know, the Kurds and the Turks. He in his telephone meeting with Erdogan, he was the one who said, well, you know, we have a relationship. You know, he said, I have a relationship, you know, with the Turks. I've got a Trump Tower hotel. I think it's in Istanbul or someplace like that. And he said it's not even just a Trump Tower. It's got two towers. Right. And so he basically indicated that his business relationship with Turkey somehow infects his geopolitical foreign policy as it relates to the U.S. and Turkey.
And what I think about the Flynn thing is, whatever happened to him, last I knew they were delaying his sentencing because
they're still delaying his thing. He still hasn't been sentenced yet. He's still sitting in limbo.
He hasn't been sentenced yet?
Right. Still sitting in limbo.
And I'll tell you what, you were talking about a candidate that maybe could meet, you know, the progressives and the more moderate Democrats.
Uh-huh.
I've liked Amy Klobuchar for a long time. I think she's got the Midwestern thing going. She's pretty well spoken. She's a prosecutor. She's been a senator for a long time, and I like the way she comes across.
She may be the one. I think that she can battle with Donald Trump with his non-English speeches that he makes. I don't even know how anybody can buy into Donald Trump. He never speaks a sentence as an actual sentence. he makes nonsense all the time. So anyway, I appreciate you, man. John, we'll holler at you next week. Let me get Ron on real quick and get his thoughts. Ron, how are you doing out there?
Oh, considering my Yankees bit took it on the chin last week.
Yeah, I got hurt too. Yeah. I thought when they caught up and got two games in, it was 2-3. They had a chance, but
starting pitching is the killer for that. I mean, he gave up a 3-run homer in the bottom of the first inning there. Anyway, but a couple of things here that I've already touched upon a little. It's almost never mentioned by the mainstream media, the so-called liberal media that you're going to hear about later, that they, when they make the accusation that this stuff is done in secret, how can you honestly say that? It's a closed-door hearing, but, you know, you've got the whole Judiciary Committee. What is it, 19 members? 10 are Republican, or 10 are Democrats and 9 are Republicans.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, Republicans can cross-examine. And they can, so it's not a secret, it's not a star chamber or a kangaroo court, but whenever they talk about it, they repeat that garbage, and they never mention that. They never say
right.
that the Republicans are just like any other congressional committee. And yeah, the House on an impeachment, the difference, though, they keep talking about the similarity between the Nixon and the Clinton impeachments. Those were special prosecutors that were there at
right.
the time. Those were much more biased. They convened grand juries to do the original investigation before it went over to the Congress. Those grand juries are inherently more biased. So the fact that there's no grand jury here, because in those grand juries, you've got a prosecutor picks the grand jury, and then he presents the evidence before them. That's much more biased. But
right.
you never hear him mention that either.
Right.
Now, but more to the point, even I get always because I'm somebody who thinks that to understand the current American history, you got to understand the assassinations of the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
Without those assassinations, this country is a totally different thing. However, if anybody says that, the mainstream media jumps right down their throat and says, you belong in a padded cell. They're all lone assassins. There was no conspiracy. Blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're pushing this goofy conspiracy theory. You got to realize what they're saying. The conspiracy theory goes something like, although it's they're vague because it's a little meandering every day, it changes. The Ukrainians hacked the Democratic Party email server to make it look as if the Russians did it to discredit Donald Trump. Now, if you ever heard anything more cockamamie than that, the whole thing, yet it's got legs now. And now you've got this new fixer,
William
Barr, going to do the investigation
yep.
based on it.
Who's been running around the world collecting information. Now he's going to turn it into a criminal investigation.
Yeah, he's sending people to
And then he's asserting that the crime is that the investigators working on behalf of the Justice Department, that they took evidence that William Barr, thinks was inferior evidence, and they launched the investigation on the Steele dossier and the Russian thing. They launched that investigation on evidence that Bill Barr is saying that if I had seen that evidence, I would not have launched an investigation on the basis of that. Since the law says that you can only launch the investigation if you see evidence that you think is compelling that something insidious is going on, you know, that's what would allow you to be able to launch this kind of an investigation. He's asserting that the fact that the information that he says was the investigation was based on was inferior information, therefore it's a criminal act. Not just that it was wrong, it's a criminal act.
Well, yeah, what they're going to do is they're going to, while the impeachment thing is going on, they're going to run this
right.
investigation. When you are doing a criminal investigation, they're going to be calling Obama and Clinton and Biden up before the Justice
right.
Department on the basis of information that is so bizarre.
Right.
They say, keep that in mind, the Ukrainians hacked the Democratic server so they could make it look like the Russians did it.
Right.
Who, of course, Putin being such a sweetness and light guy, he doesn't do anything wrong. He just invades other countries,
right.
kills his own exiled citizens, arrests his political opponents 2 weeks before the election because it looks like they might have actually won, even with the rigged election. I know this sweetness and light Putin guy, he wouldn't do anything terrible.
Right.
It's those evil Ukrainians that wanted the Democrats to win and discredit poor, oppressed Vladimir Putin. This is bizarre, but the media never points this out as anything other than garbage. They give legs to it. It's nuts.
Yep. I agree. I appreciate you, Ron. Thanks, man. We'll pick it up next week. Let's get John in flyover country. Then we're going to try to get to Ben before we get to the end of this hour. John, how you doing out there?
Hey, Nathan. I'm doing good.
All right.
Just to say hello to the Stalinist that calls in and has a fixation on Curly, Larry, and Moe. I think he's one of the biggest stooges of all time.
See, this is why I don't like for you guys to get into this, okay? Because I don't want to be an agent for people to be calling each other names.
I understand you didn't start it,
but you know what my father always taught me? You may not have been the one who started something, but you're the one that kept it going.
Well,
so let's just not do that, okay?
Anyways, I'm telling you, I'm happier than hell. You guys were talking about in fact, Ron, I give him credit. He brought up the criminal investigation officially has begun of the Obama, CIA, FBI.
And
the
John, just quickly, what's the crime?
John, what's
the crime? What's the crime?
It's about time.
No, what's the crime? Not about what time it is. What's the crime?
The crime is taking advantage of the constitutional rights of an American citizen, Donald J. Trump, before he became president and after he became president, and colluded within these agencies, intelligence agencies. There's been 10 books written on the subject. There's been investigative reporting done, but it's never carried
See,
by
the I ask media. You, I ask you
never.
A direct question.
There's the crime.
I ask you a direct question, and you give me two paragraphs of stuff that none of it has anything to do with the question.
My question
is simple. What is the crime that is being investigated?
The crime is the violation of the civil rights and constitutional rights of an American citizen by the name of Donald J. Trump, Michael Flynn, Paul Manafort.
Okay.
I can keep going on and on.
They violated
their constitutional rights.
You know what you're saying is not true.
There's been 10 books written on it.
Yeah, and I know
the
conservatives write books like this all the time. Just because they wrote it in a book doesn't mean it's true.
There are 10 books. There's investigative reporting. There's a criminal investigation.
There's investigative reporting
open.
That shows that the Burisma and Ukrainian, you know, fable is not true.
Right.
Okay.
John,
I know that's what you do is you talk real loud, try to talk all over people get your points across, but it doesn't make your points a point just because you talk louder and you talk faster. It doesn't make it a point. It just means you talk louder and you're talking faster. So we have to have a conversation in order to get someplace. Let me get Ben in Lancaster on and see what his thoughts are. Ben, how are you doing out there?
I'm doing well, Nathan. Hi.
Great.
I just wanted to say something. The other day, Trump said as far as China, the trade deal, et cetera, that he would not sign a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's basically setting himself up for signing a bad deal, just like when he told his people there's no quid pro quo, there was quid
mm-hmm.
pro quo.
Right.
So he's going to sign a bad deal, and the market will respond probably upward because a deal was signed. But when Trump says he's not going to sign a bad deal, he's setting himself up to sign a bad deal because he knows that he's painting himself into a corner, and this is all he can do. So that's the guy. Thanks, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate you, man. So listen, I understand, you know, where John is coming from. He sees the world entirely from the point of view of these right-wing Republicans who love Donald Trump, the American nationalist, and whatever supports his spin, they're with it. But I just need for you to understand the FISA court, which is the court that all of this conversation that John's talking about proceeds from, the FISA court authorized these wiretaps and this evidence gathering. And the FISA court would not have done that unless evidence had been placed before the FISA court that those judges agreed was compelling evidence. So to assert that it's a crime because you think now after the fact that that evidence was not compelling is absurd. The FISA court is the one that launched the authorization for these wiretaps and this investigation. If they felt the evidence was worthy, even if it turned out not to be correct, you still can't charge somebody with a crime for acting on information that a FISA court authorized them to act on. Let's just try to be clear about this stuff. Listen, guys, we got a lot we're going to be talking about. I know that we're going to have different sides and different opinions. Let's not call each other names. Let's just try to deal with what's actually in front of us. Facts are facts. You have a right to your own opinion, but you don't have a right to your own facts. We'll look forward to talking to you all next week here at Think Again. Think Again. Man.
You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.